Well, hello, everybody. My name's Pastor Brad, and I have the honor and privilege to teach today the final chapter of the book, Think Ahead, by Greg Rochelle. And it's been a great book, and I got some great nuggets out of it, which I will share with you this morning. First of all, I want to do a shout out to my friend, Linda Dial, who I bet is watching this in her Easy Boy, recovering from some surgeries. And so, Linda, God bless you and praying healing prayers over you. And thank you for listening in. Thank you for all of you who are listening in. The book series is called Think Ahead. My title of my sermon is called I Am a Finisher. And one of the great things that was written in this book is just a little saying that I've adopted, a declaration. I've said it many times before, but this great book, Think Ahead, has helped me to bring it back into focus. And it's this: when I commit, I do not quit. When I commit, I do not quit. I will be a finisher. Let's make that declaration. And you know what? We're not doing it on our own. We're doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're doing it in the power of the grace of God, who gives us everything we need to do what He asks us to do. I will be a finisher. From 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11, it says this: now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. Just a couple things I'd like to talk about in that scripture is we always get jacked up, pumped up in the beginning. We have lots of enthusiasm, but a lot of times that wanes and wears off, and then we don't finish. And so this scripture is really exhorting us to, you know, stay focused and keep that excitement. And the other thing it says in here is, it's like according to your means. And what does that mean? Well, God has given me everything I need to finish. And not only that, He gives me the grace to finish. And so that's the difference. I've been a goal setter my whole life, but I would rather have a vision of excellence from God, because when you have that, well, you're in His will and you're really running with Him. And He is running with you, and together you're doing this thing. So that's just use what you got, you know, and then God gives more. Just give what you got, and then God will do the rest. But your participation is highly sought after, but just use what you got. God isn't asking you to do something you don't have. All right, there are four topics that I want to bring up to you today in that Think Ahead or I Will Be a Finisher. And the first one is voting for your future. So when you choose, every decision that you make is a vote for your future. And good decisions are absolutely key to how your life is going to go. And so when you make a decision, you pre-choose, and hopefully you're pre-choosing God's will, God's way, then you are setting up your future to bear fruit, to have joy, peace, love, all the stuff that the fruits of the Spirit bring. But your decisions are a vote for your future. Vote for your future. Finish. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. Okay, we just went over that, but important enough to say again. One of the declarations in the book, which I thought was awesome, and I'll share it with you, is you might see me struggle, but I promise you won't see me quit. And that's the attitude that we need to have. Because it's not going to be easy. And Jesus never said it would be easy. In fact, he said it would be hard. And so we should expect that it's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. And again, God will give us what we need. You might see me struggle, but I promise you won't see me quit. You don't quit. You feel like quitting. We do often. We're like, man, I just feel like quitting. Well, maybe that's okay to feel that way. Just don't quit. Don't quit. The second part of this chapter is true grit. And in 2 Timothy, Paul says, I have finished the race. Listen to what he says, 2 Timothy 4:6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Okay, so he's coming to the end of his life, but he says this, and I hope you and I can say this. When we come to the end of our life, we can say what Paul says. Listen to what he says. He says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And the only way that you can say that is if you had true grit. Now, yeah, God has put true grit in us, but it really is from him. And if we finish the race, it's because God has helped us get to that finish line. But I want to say that. I want to be able to say, hey, I gave it all. I was poured out like a drink offering. I got nothing left, but that's okay because I have finished well. And I really, and you really want God to say, good job. Good job, you did finish. You finished the race and you kept the faith. Now, some of you are like in the retirement mode. You're a little older, but you're a lot wiser. And I wanna really encourage you, if you're in your 60s and or 70s, you need to know that your impact in this world is going to be greater than it's ever been. And so sometimes I hear people say, hey, I'm done, I'm out, you know, I can't do it. Well, I love this saying from the book, if you're not dead, you're not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. And God has more for you. And please be open to that. Please be open to what God would want to download in you and have you do. Because your impact now, as we are seniors, we're in that fourth quarter of the game of life, we're going to have more impact. And that's the absolute truth. Please hear me. You're going to have more impact. So if you're not dead, you're not done. Because God has some stuff for you to do, some really amazing stuff. So be open to that. True grit is not giving up. It's going one more step when you don't think you can go another step. Don't grow weary. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Take another step. And also, one of the things that I've learned is as you're doing these good works, and sometimes it gets hard, and sometimes you do get tired, but love the process. Like anything you're doing, fall in love with the process. And what I mean by that is the people that you're impacting, take the time to love on them. You know, don't just be so goal-oriented that you're just looking at the finish line and you're not looking at these beautiful people that you are to cherish and value and be precious to you. Love that process. Love each step. Also, love boring. One of the things that coaches are asked is what makes the difference between a really great athlete and an elite athlete? And I think this works everywhere, works in the workplace, works in education. Wherever you look, it's the person who has fallen in love with boring. The lifting is boring. The stretching is boring. But the great ones, all the great elite athletes, have fallen in love with boring. A quick story, I played Babe Ruth baseball and was lucky enough to get on the all-star team. And we went down south to Twin Falls to play in the state championship of Idaho for Babe Ruth. And I stayed with a kid that lived out on a farm. And I said, well, what do you do for fun? He goes, well, I hit rocks. Come on, let's go hit rocks. So we went out on this levee, and they were a farming family, and we took these beat-up bats, and we threw rocks up in the air and fungoed them and hit rocks. And the rocks were all about, you know, this big and smaller. And it was just kind of boring, but pretty soon kind of got into it, and we're having a competition to see who could hit it the farthest. And then at game time, when I got up to bat, the ball looked like a beach ball, and I went 9 for 9 in the batting in this Babe Ruth tournament. And the reason I did was because of that boring fungo hitting those rocks with those beat up bats, and it was boring, but this kid had fallen in love with boring. And my host, the kid that I stayed with, won the batting title for that state tournament. So sometimes doing ministry, sometimes doing life can be boring. But if you can fall in love with boring, get that boring is really good. The reps that make you really good at your impact, really good at what you do. So fall in love with the process. Just choose, hey, I'm going to give myself to this, and I'm going to see the good, and I'm going to see the right. I'm going to see the excellence. I'm going to see the things that are praiseworthy, and I'm going to fall in love with this process of doing my thing for God. Perseverance is the path to greatness. The people that are great at what they do, they persevere. They do it when they don't feel like doing it. They take another step. They rep the important things. They rep reading their Bible. They rep praying. They rep going to their life groups. They rep giving their time and talents and treasures away. They rep when they tell their God story. And they just don't give up. They just won't stop. And all those things become power habits. Or as the Bible talks about, the message, the paraphrased message says, doing unforced rhythms. And it's just the ones that just show up every day. The people that make life go are the people who show up every day, even when they don't want to show up. And they persevere, and they run their race, and they just don't give up. I hang out at Waffles and More, and back in the day, there were these two waitresses, and they were so stinking fun. It was Kimmy and Lori, and I remember one time I had a birthday, and I got a cowboy hat, and I got a sheriff's badge, and I got holsters with cap guns, and just going there was so fun. The food's good. But going there and having those two, you know, talk trash to you and interact with you. And one day I said to Lori, hey, Lori, I really, would you come to my church? And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, oh, good. She goes, if you ride, I made the grade. I'm like, what? She says, if you'll ride your bike up, I made the grade, I'll come to your church. I'm like, how hard could that be? Right? I'll just take my time. I don't have to win the race. So I signed up for I Made the Grade, and that's riding your bike from down in Lewiston up to the top of the Lewiston grade. And so signed up, went. How hard can this be? Oh, my lands. Halfway up, I was like, God, I'm really sorry, but I'm going to have to quit. Lori's going to have to go to hell because I can't do it. And right about then, this lady went by me, and she was, kind of heavy. And she just went by me like I was standing still. And I know why. She had like a $20,000 bike. If I had a $20,000 bike, I could go up the hill like that too, but I can't afford a $20,000 bike. And then I said, well, it's the bike. And then the next guy that went by me was a kid that I coached in Special Olympics, and he was on a Huffy Stingray. And he went by me, and that's like about a $50 bike. And he went by me like I was standing still. And trash talked me as he was going by. "You don't look so good, Brad. You don't look so good." But I persevered, and I got to the top of the grade, and I was the last person there. And they had picked up the cones. They had put the finish line banner in the truck. The PA system was packed away, and the only people up there waiting for me to finish was Lori, who had challenged me to do it, and my grandchildren that were cheering me on. Well, Lori came to church, and I made sure that at the end of that church service, I did my very best. If you'd like to accept Jesus, here's how you do it, and here's why you do it. And she didn't, and she never came back to church again. But Lori got cancer and invited me to come to her bedside, her deathbed, and I was able to talk to her about how much God loved her and was able to lead her to the Lord. And then I had the honor, she asked me to do her celebration of life. And I often wondered, if I hadn't made it to the top of the grade, would we have had that relationship? And I think there's a reward. I think there was a reward for finishing. And it said something to Lori that I would do it and that I finished. And then she kept her promise. And then the most important part of this story is we got relationship. And I was able to tell her how much God loved her, and she was able to receive that. So we gotta finish. We gotta get to the top of that hill. And I'll tell you, I wanted to quit. You can't even believe how I wanted to quit riding that stupid bike up that Lewiston Hill. But when you have perseverance, it's the path to greatness. It's when all the good stuff happens if we don't quit. Again, we talked about this a little earlier. Enthusiasm is common, but endurance is rare. And we can get fired up, and then we lose our fire. And then we wane, and then it kind of goes out of sight, out of mind, and it never happens. And so endurance. And God, again, gang, if God asks you to do something, He always gives you what you need to finish. And that comes from His grace. That comes from His Holy Spirit's power. And that's why when people see us, they can go, "He has endurance. She has endurance." And it's rare. True grit is this verse, Acts 20, verse 24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And I think you got to, part of true grit is like, I'm putting God first. My job, it's nothing to me. My hobbies, nothing to me. My money, nothing to me. My possessions, nothing to me. The only thing that matters to me is that I finish this race that God has given me. And that race is to go out, build relationships, and be able to tell people the good news of God's grace. And so true grit is putting things in priorities. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Everything else, nope, not important. This is important. And that's part of having true grit. When I played sports, I couldn't be most valuable player. I never got a most valuable player award. And so I kind of knew that I wasn't going to be the most valuable player. But here's my declaration was, no one will out-hustle me. No one will outwork me. And that worked for me. Nobody was going to beat me in any of the drills. And that's something I could do. I couldn't be the best player, But through grit, I could win every drill. And the only guy that really ever beat me in that is a guy named Tommy Miller, and he was a farm kid. And of course, he learned true grit by growing up on the farm. And he and I battled every drill to be the first, and every sprint to be the first, every lap to be the first. And I never got most valuable player, but I always would get Mr. Hustle. And that was my declaration. And that only came through true grit. And it worked for me, because that's why I got on the court, that's why I got on the field, was because of that hustle. My only real claim to fame was one of my best friends. His name was Steve Kalinowski, and he was 6'6", and he weighed 250 pounds, and he could run like a deer. So when he played, he was a football player, but when he played basketball, all these coaches from these Division I schools would come to Booth Hall to watch Steve play basketball, because they wanted to see if Steve Kalinowski was an athlete, and he was. But here's my only claim to fame. Several times, coaches that came to watch Kalinowski would ask our coach, Bob Yeoman, who's number 11? And that was me. And they would say this: if we could put him in Kalinowski, then he would be a number one draft pick. He'd be a number one recruit. And they weren't going to recruit me at 5'11 and 155 pounds, but I had the grit, and that was kind of my testimony. And so that's how it works in the world. You might not be able to be the most valuable player, but if you show grit, if you show, hey, I don't quit, man, I am all in, then really, really good things happen. And so in thinking ahead, in finishing well, one of the things that really helps is having grit. Okay, number three, quitting. Stay focused. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Stay focused. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Steadfast means I ain't quitting. I am not going to quit. I'm going to be steadfast in this. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Stay focused. Run with perseverance. Don't quit. Run with perseverance. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now that is key. Okay? If you want to have perseverance, you keep your eyes on Jesus. And Jesus is the one that gives you the power, gives you the grace, gives you the grit, gives you the choices to allow you to persevere. And you're not in this alone. You're not doing this alone. He is there with you. So fix your eyes on Him, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He didn't quit. He wanted to quit in the garden. He said, hey, Father God, if this could not happen, I'd so be okay with that. But then he said this: not my will, Father, but your will be done. And he persevered, and he went to the cross for you and me, shed his blood for you and me, took our sin away. And he didn't quit. Thank God he did not quit. In the Word of God, it says, no, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And again, I just really want to emphasize that our success, our wins, our ability to persevere, our ability to not quit, comes through Him who loved us. He conquered the world. He said, don't don't get bummed out. Don't get freaked out. I have overcome the world. And His Holy Spirit lives in us. And so we're conquerors. And with that mindset, with that truth in our hearts and our minds, you know, we're not going to quit. Because we have God's power to finish. We'll be more than conquerors. Why do people quit? Have you known anybody who quits? Because what my dad said to me, he said, "Hey, Brad, you're not quitting." It was a situation playing baseball in high school, and honestly, some things happened that weren't right, and they weren't fair, and they weren't just. And I went home. I said, "I'm quitting." And this, what happened is not right. It's not fair. I'm not going to do this anymore. And my dad said, "No, you're not quitting." And I go, "But doesn't it seem fair that I quit?" He goes, "Well, maybe, but Bramlets don't quit." And I'm like, he goes, "Brad, you don't have to play next year, but you're finishing this season. You're not going to quit. I'm not going to let you quit. So you can do this." And so I did. And then after that season, I never played baseball again. And the good thing about that was I got to go on a basketball team and travel South America instead of playing baseball, which was a fantastic thing for me. But the point is, I had a dad who knew that once you start quitting, it becomes a habit. And that is really bad. And we all know people. We all know people. We've watched people quit. And then they quit and they quit. An interesting statistic. Now, no shame, no judgment from me on people who have been divorced. It happens. And I am not the judge. I'm a really bad God. Okay? And I've seen second marriages, even third marriages, be wonderful, God-honoring marriages. But the fact, the statistic is, in second marriages, the divorce rate is 80%. And so to me, one, what it says is the grass isn't greener on the other side, because if it was, there wouldn't be an 80% divorce rate in second marriages. But the thing that I think it shows is that once you quit, then it's easier to quit again. And thus, the stat, 80% of second marriages wind up in divorce. And so I'm really thankful. I had a great dad. I had a great dad. And he would not let me quit. And because I persevered, because I hung in there, some really good things happened. One of the things that you have to do in this whole process of finishing well is you have to choose your hard. Yeah, paying cash for things is hard. Saving money is hard. But choose your heart. Do you want to pay hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars more because you financed it? Marriage is hard. It's hard. It's hard work. You have to persevere. But choose your heart, marriage or divorce. And if you talk to people that are divorced, some would say, "I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy." Choose your heart. Your health. It's hard to work out. It's hard to stretch. It's hard to eat right. But choose your hard, because disease and all kinds of things come. Choose your hard. And I obviously could go on and on. So why do people quit? Because it's hard. And again, Jesus said, yes, it's going to be hard, but hang in there and I'll give you what you need. Choose your hard. Take another step. Persevere. Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And He always keeps His promises. He's the ultimate promise keeper. But again, we're exhorted to persevere. Just take another step. I had a mentor named Bruce Miles. He was my pastor in Coeur d'Alene. And he would always say this. He'd say, "Bramlett, I just stumble under the anointing." And I grabbed onto that, and I say that all the time. But here's the thing about those words, stumble under the anointing. And stumbling is another step forward. It's not very attractive when you stumble forward, but you are moving forward. Take another step. When it gets hard and you want to quit, take another step. Just stumble under the anointing. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. The people that finish just always take another step. Here's a great question. I read books. I love to read books. And one of the things I do to read books is I have audio. And what I do is I listen to the books in my commute from Winchester here and from here to Winchester. And I always think like this. When I'm reading a book, I'm getting a report card, okay, of how I'm doing. And in the book, I honestly got some A's, I got some B's, and I also got some F's, some F minuses. Like, oh, I'm doing that. Yeah, that's working. Oh, that's a good thing. I'm doing that. I'm not doing that. And so my question to you is, do you have any unfinished business? Is there something that you know God wants you to do? You know you should do it, but you're not doing it. Have you got one of those? And I do, and I have two. And again, remember what I told you earlier, if you're not dead, you're not done. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And He wants your cooperation. And that's a choice you have to make. That is a choice. And that's a vote for your future. And one of the things that I realized that this is really a nugget that I want to share with you today, is everything that I got good grades on, I had a team. I was doing with other people. They were making me better. It was iron sharpening iron. It was together we are better. And I realized that the two things that are unfinished business in my life, I got no team. I'm the Lone Ranger, and I'm doing it on my own, and a lot of times I'm winging it. So I want you to think, as we think about finishing, and I finish, I don't quit, do you have a team? Because team is really everything. We are so better together. And I thought it was really interesting, because I'm always looking for that thing in a book, like, if I get one thing out of this book that can help me be better, then this is worth the whole read. And for the book, Think Ahead, for me, it was, okay, yeah, I got two things. I don't want to die without being a conqueror in these two things. And I'll share with you one. It's my health. And I have had times where I've had teams involved in my health, and it's gone really well. Right now, no team. Not going good. Okay? And so think about, as you're thinking about, okay, God wants me to do this. I'm not dead. I'm not finished. And I'm going to work on these things. Think about team. Choose a team. Choose people that can help you be better. Because team is everything. So have you got something that you know you need to do? You ain't dead yet, so you ain't done. Okay, get a team and persevere. Don't quit. Vote for your future. Okay. Take another step. Carry it on to completion. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He ain't done. You're not dead. You ain't done. Okay? He will continue to work with you. That unfinished business, He wants to help you finish and finish well. Take another step. John 19:30. When He had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Who is the ultimate finisher? It's Jesus, and he lives in your heart. And he's our hero. He's our Savior. He's our Christ. He is our friend. And he didn't quit. He took another step to where he was scourged. He took another step. He carried his cross till Golgotha. He took another step. You know, he submitted himself to being crucified. He took another step. He stepped out of the tomb. He took another step. And then he stepped to the beach where he cooked the fish for his disciples. He stepped up on the hillside and appeared to them. And he was a master at always taking another step. He was absolutely faithful. And he's our guy. He's the guy for us. And so again, it's his power in you and the grace he gives you that will allow you to finish. And he's in you, he's with you, he's for you, he's good to you. I am a finisher. When I commit, I don't quit. You are running for God and with God. Always remember that. You're not running alone. He's with you. You're running for God and with God. And honestly, if you don't have a good why in what you're doing, you won't finish. You won't stay motivated. You'll lose interest. You'll lose energy. You have to know your why. And you're running for God. And you're running with God. You are never alone. God loves you and will carry you. My grace is sufficient for you in your time of need. So when you're out, here he comes with what you need. And so fix your eyes on Jesus, the ultimate finisher. In conclusion, pre-choose this day. When you pre-choose, one of the side positive consequences is it takes lots of stress out. In the book of James, chapter 1, it says, you know, if you want to know what you're supposed to do, ask me and I'll tell you. And then it says, you got to make a decision to go, okay, you told me what to do, I'm going to do it. Because if you don't, you'll be tossed by the waves this way and that way, and you'll be unsettled in all that you do. Okay, that's stressful. And who needs any more stress in this crazy world that we live in? So when you pre-choose to put God first, seek first the kingdom of God, when you pre-choose, hey, I'm going to do what he says. If he says it, I'm going to do it. That's my choice. That's a pre-choice. And I ain't going away from that. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. A pre-choice. And then there's rewards with that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a great choice. What a great choice. So, let's say it. Let's say it again. I'm a finisher. Let's say it again. When I commit, I do not quit. Let's say it again. My source of power, my source of grace comes from him. I'm running for God. I'm running with God. I'm going to finish. So there it is. You've been challenged. If you haven't read the book, you should read the book. And I would encourage you to look for things that you're doing and get an attaboy or an attagirl from God. Look for that nugget that just jumps out of the pages and right into your heart that you need to do, and then commit to that. When I commit, I don't quit. I'm a finisher. Let's take those things that are undone. Let's take those things that the Holy Spirit has put on our heart. Like, okay, you're not dead, so you're not done. Let's get after this. And let's get after this. Pre-choose this day. Pre-choice, such a good thing to do. And God bless us that we have him, that he's running with us, that we're running for him. Let's pray. Lord, we want to finish well. God, when we commit, we don't want to quit. Lord, for the times that we've quit, will you forgive us? And sometimes, Lord, you tell us to quit for something better. And so quitting is good. There are times when you want us to quit something to get something better that you have for us. But Lord, keep us focused. Keep us just full of the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us walk in your Spirit. Let us love the process. Let us love people that are in the process. The boring stuff, God, even empower us to love that, to rep and rep and rep. And Lord, when we don't feel like doing it, you give us the power to take one more step or to stumble forward under your anointing. God, let us vote for our future in the best ways. Lord, let us not be quitters. Lord, let us take another step in your power. In Jesus' name, amen.